And let's get started there. Proverbs chapter 4 is where we'll be tonight. Proverbs 4. Excuse me. I swallowed wrong. And verse 11. we'll start at verse 11. Tonight we're going to talk about the wisdom to step back and see your path. It's kind of a long title. It took me some thinking to think how to title this message, and it's going to be kind of different because we're going to go fairly fast through the message, but actually, my last sub-point, not even my last point, is probably where I want to focus the most of the whole message, and the rest of it we'll go through and just get some things. We'll go a little bit around something we've talked about just a touch, which is our paths. We taught a whole lesson on our paths, but this is a little different angle on that, and focusing specifically on how we look at our paths. Verse 11. It says, I have a dad talking to his son, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom, I have led thee in the right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of violence and drink the wine of they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is of the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness, and they know not at what they stumble. The wisdom to step back and see your path. Let's go ahead and bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the chance to teach your word. Thank you for the word of God. There is so much wisdom here, Lord. What we just read, it's amazing how much is in there. And how much that is, we could just eternal riches and knowledge. It's so deep, it's so profound. And yet, we as humans don't always listen to you, Father. But I pray tonight we'd have ears to hear and your spirit would speak and great things would happen. And we just pray for you to help us now in a powerful way. We ask you to speak. We ask you to help. We ask you to help us have the wisdom to really see what we ought to see. And Lord, I know the devil's blinded many of our minds and we don't always think clearly. But I pray tonight that the ice would be shattered from the clarity would come right in, and a breath of fresh air would come into our minds, and fresh thought and clarity in life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The dad taught his son the right path here. We see this at verse 11. I've taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right path. He says, I've taught you the right path, and that's certainly important. You should avoid the wrong path, he says. The end of that path is darkness. Verse 14, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. So don't even come close to it, the path of the wicked. Why? Verse 19, the way of the wicked is as darkness, and they know not at what they stumble. Their path is, there's a wrong path you should avoid, and that path leads in the end to darkness. The path of the good people, the path of the just, the path who lives wisely, the path that's followed and live wisely, it gets better and better. Verse 18, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. So he says, I've taught you what the right path is. Don't go on the wrong path. The wrong path will lead to this end. The right path will lead to this end. And so considering your paths and thinking about your paths and dwelling on your paths is not a process of looking at your next step, but it's dwelling on a path. And then the end of the path is what's focused on here, what it comes to, what the conclusion of the path is. As Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that find it. But the path of destruction doesn't look like destruction at the start. The average person in the world is not saying, I am living a wicked, ungodly life, and I'm going to go to hell someday because of it. They don't see it that way. And that the devil hides the path and he puts flowers around it and makes it look pretty and nice. And so you don't just look and say, what does this path look like? You say, where does this path take me to? And step back and you see the whole path. And when you do that, it makes you do the right thing. And just so some thoughts on that. Number one, we need to think about our paths. Look at the same chapter, verse 26. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. 26 and 27 are connected. They aren't different subjects. So first, you ponder the path of your feet. Okay? It's not, look where I stepped. It's, I'm pondering where my feet are going to take me. I'm pondering this path. That means you got to think ahead. That means you're pondering where you're going to end up. And you think about it. And then once you pondered it and decide that's the path I want to take, and then you do not depart from that path. One of the things that I see, take it out of a spiritual realm, take it to an earthly realm right now for a sec. One of the things I see 17, 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds do is in their careers, it seems like now there's not a lot of forethought in careers. Now, good parents still make their kids think and try to lead their kids in the right way and stuff like that, but many young people, they land in a job, and all they think about is, I got to go to work tomorrow. And they go to a job, and they go to work, and they work a job, and they get locked into a job that's not a very good job that they don't like, that leads nowhere. And they don't really think around that and think of, where am I going to be financially when I'm 35 if I don't get another job? People don't have foresight a lot now. And I try to talk to young people and say, okay, you need to work a job right now, but what are you going to end up doing? Ponder the path of your feet. Because you need to think about the process and what you want to do. Very few people end up successful on accident. They had a plan. Sometimes some kid, he just happens to land the right job and he moves up in the job because of hard work, and that happens. I understand that. But most of the time, people end up at a dead-end job because they never thought past the start of the path. And they don't do that. Many people get in a relationship and they don't think about, what does this person be like with kids? Or is this person going to be able to save for retirement? They're thinking, he's cute. Oh, she's pretty. And ugh. And single syllable thoughts. And so they don't think ahead to the end. And then they end up in a messy, nasty divorce. And they just think of the person who's a terrible person and what a loser they are. Did you not think? I mean, premarital counseling is mandatory. Just people don't even think the process through. Oh, we'll always be happy. We're so happy right now. You've been dating 2 months. Try 20 years and see when it's boring now. And when you got to have character and decide to. Because everything in life doesn't say easy and exciting as it does the first month you meet. Now, it can be wonderful after 20 years. Our marriage is wonderful after 20 years and great and happy, but it's not because we didn't think things through or work at it. Every puppy is cute, but a lot of people take them to dog pound later because they didn't think it through. This thing goes to the bathroom. Really? You didn't think of that? You get a cat, it's got to go somewhere. And you got to think that process. And so many people, do things in life like some people do with a pet. You know, you got to buy dog food. And they go through life not thinking the whole process through. And you got to ponder. You got to think about your path. The first thing you do is you ponder it. So you think it through and you think this is a good path. And then the next part of it is you stay on that path. And that's a little harder for people. Verse 26, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. I think that's talking about the same thing there. It says, remove thy foot from evil. Turn not. So once you got your path, you stay on it. I was talking to somebody who's pretty wise recently, and they were saying the problem I have with somebody is I can get them excited to go get on this path. The problem is, are they going to stop as soon as it gets difficult and hard? You know how many people plan on graduating college? You know how many people plan on staying married? How many people plan on, anything you're going to do in life, any path you're going to take, it's going to get difficult. And when you step out of your comfort zone, many people, because they cannot stick with a decision when it gets difficult, they go back to comfort zone. And no matter how miserable that comfort zone is, it's comfort zone. So they go back to it. Because why? Because the misery of the comfort zone is at least the misery they're comfortable with. But when they step out, that is something they can easily, that's not the misery they're used to. The problems and complications. So they don't like that. So they'll go back to where they're comfortable being miserable. And knowing that if they look at the whole path, this path is a miserable path. This path ends up being good, but right now it's gonna be easier to go back here. But the easy thing is not better in the long term. And so you decide to stay with the path you pondered. You say, I'm going to serve the Lord. Giving my life to God is the key. Giving my life to God is what the path I want to be on. Good. And Satan is going to attack you. And all of a sudden, it's going to be hard to go to church. And then all of a sudden, your decision to go to church is going to be tested. And you're going to come to church and someone's going to be mean to you at church. And all of a sudden, you come to church and it's going to be boring one day. And you're going to go to church and all of a sudden, you're going to get a job offer on Sunday. And all of a sudden, the test will come of whether you're going to do that. Because all good decisions get tested and you got to stick with it. And you got to not turn to the right hand or the left because you picked a path and you stayed with it. You need to ponder that path. It's not always how smart or talented you are that decides how your path goes, how your life goes. A lot of it has to do with what path you chose and if you pondered it out. Listen, somebody can have the best four-wheel drive off-road vehicle in the entire world. But you'll find those people who go down and they choose to go off-roading on these very, very difficult roads with big boulders and drop-offs and everything else. And you know how long they stand there and look at it and walk through it many times first? Why? Because there are some paths, no matter how good the Jeep is or how good a winch you got, that doesn't matter because that path is impossible. And you can say, well, I'm just gonna roll with it and see what happens. You're not very smart. Doesn't matter how gifted or smart or tough or how you're good at wing-dinging it you are. Can I just tell you? If the path is a bad path, it's going to turn out bad the majority of the time. And so you want to ponder it ahead of time, because not just because you're smart or you know how to roll the punches or you know how to figure it out when you get there. That's the hard way to do it. That's the hard way to do it. And it doesn't always work out that way. Some paths are just more and more and more difficult paths. Let's go to Proverbs 14. Proverbs chapter 14. And verse 8, I love this verse. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. You understand your way. You understand where it's going. That's your wisdom. You understand, I know what road I'm on. I know where I'm going to end up. I know what road I'm on. I have the idea figured out. It's already settled. I already got that idea. And so you pondered it. You've thought it through, and you say, I know where this leads. If I do this and do this and do this and do this, then more than likely, this is going to happen. I'm going to be blessed in this way. And you know what? If I do this and this and this and this and this, it's probably not going to turn out too well. How many of you ever watched someone in life and you just looked and you just said, this is a train wreck. This is not going to turn out good. And you can see it and you just didn't know when. You knew what was going to happen. You just didn't know when it was going to happen. And you just sat there and watched it just going, oh. How many of you ever watched somebody do that? You knew the end before it. You knew. You didn't know every detail. You weren't God, but you knew pretty much. In the same way, you kind of know if you do that stuff, it's gonna probably end up this way. And you know, if you decide to live a life of crime, you know, you become a drug addict. You go out and decide to, you know, you probably know how these lives are gonna end. Okay, meth addicts kind of end. And so you don't expect the exception. We'll get to that a little bit later. And so you kind of think about it and you understand your way. You understand, and you're on the right path. You understand, you know what? I understand my way. I kind of understand that things are going to turn out okay. And in eternity, I'm going to be in bliss forever. I kind of get it. I know this path. I've thought it through. I've watched people who've done it. I've read the Bible. And we see that. So number one, we need to think about our past. Number two, we need to realize that we can be completely wrong about our path. I'm not contradicting myself there. That's a very important point. Proverbs chapter 12. And we need to understand we can be completely wrong about our path. Verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Notice the association. A foolish person thinks he's right, but you listen to counsel, you're wise. If you're afraid to get counsel, you're probably making the wrong decision. Because a fool's way is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth to counsel is wise. And if all of wise people have told you this is foolish, you're probably being foolish. Very rarely do you have multiple wise people telling you you're doing something foolish and it turned out well. But I will say this, I guarantee you it can make perfect sense. Why? Because the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. I have seen some people make the most boneheaded decision that everybody was saying, what are you doing? And their parents were saying it, their pastor was saying it, their friends were saying it. I mean, the unsaved people were saying it. They said, no, you guys just don't know. You just don't understand me. And then at the end, they are just shocked. Because the way a fool is right in his own eyes. They don't listen to people. And they do that. Proverbs 14. We need to realize that we can be completely wrong about our path. It's very difficult to explain this concept. Proverbs 14, verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There is a time when it can seem like the right way. I think of things, my thoughts that I thought when I was 16, 17, and 18, and how dumb I was. But it made perfect sense to me. Now, some things I was pretty wise in, but some things were just so dumb. But it wasn't, and I've seen a lot of people who make mistakes and say, I just didn't know. And by the way, you should be saying, I just didn't know back then. Why? Because you've learned. That's okay. But it's very hard because this concept is very difficult because if it makes logical sense to you, it makes logical sense to you. But you may be completely wrong because you're not always thinking clearly. And sometimes you just don't have wisdom. Somebody I know recently, they wanted to get a fire going and they took gasoline and poured it into all the wood there and went to light it. Now, to someone I just said that, I said, that's a good idea. They, in their mind, they said, that's a good idea. Not because they're stupid. Some people don't understand it's fumes with gasoline to blow up. It's not the liquid. So they're not an idiot because you say, look, gasoline is flammable. I'll put it on the fire and it'll light. That's not because their brains don't work. It's because they don't have wisdom. Is it logical to them? Absolutely. Is it right? No. It's the way of death. Okay? And so it's very hard for those of us who aren't idiots who think I think pretty good and I think pretty logical and I'm not an idiot to ever realize that you might do that in life. And you might enter a relationship and say, this makes perfect sense to me. It's logical. It's just exactly right. Everything lined up. And wise people say, what are you doing? Oh, no, you just don't understand. But you may not be thinking clearly. I've seen preachers not think clearly. I've seen people in Bible college not think clearly. I've seen kids who grew up in a good home not think clearly. I've seen people who've been saints for many, many years not think clearly. And I've seen myself not think clearly. And so you understand, you may not always be seeing things. You can talk yourself into anything. And when your will is strong enough, you will make sense of it. And you will talk yourself. And by the way, some people talk themselves the same mistake year after year after year. They'll make the same mistake over and over and over again. And here's the crazy thing. They know they're talking themselves into it. And they do. I had to sit down with one person who's a real good salesperson. And I said, you know what? Would you quit selling yourself on the same stupid decision? You're too good a salesperson. Quit selling yourself. Because sometimes you just think, you deceive yourself. The Bible says we deceive ourselves. And so you do that. You understand, just because it makes sense to you does not mean it's wise. So what do we do, Pastor, if we're supposed to ponder our path and our thinking may not always be straight? What do we do? God gives us safeguards. We've covered so far some of them. I'm going to give you safeguards, five safeguards that God's given you, so you can see if your path is right or not. And so first of all, there's these things. First of all, we have several ways to check our path. Number one, see the end of the path. See the end of the path. The way to know if you're thinking right is because almost all bad paths are made with the mistake of simply thinking of the immediate pleasure of the decision. I'll feel good if I don't go to church. I'll feel good if I go into this relationship. I will feel good. And it's immediate. It's never looking to the end of the path. It's only looking at the immediate thing. The safeguard is look at the end of your decision and saying, what is the end of this decision? What happens to people when they do this? If somebody else did this, would I recommend somebody else do this? Boy, that always changes opinions. If they're a parent, many times I'll ask somebody, would you recommend your kid do that? When I know they're not thinking clearly. They'd say, no, but it's different with them. Would you recommend your best friend do it? Well, probably not, but it's good for me to. I'll be fine. Why? Because I want people to think of the end of the path. And not just what feels good. Listen, drugs. Drugs feel good. You can escape. You can do all kinds of things with drugs. You just got to look at the end of the path. I like those posters they put of meth heads in the gas stations. Showing a nice looking young man at 15 and show a man with no teeth and scars all over his face and with his mug shot at 18. Why? It makes somebody look at the end of the path. Because it's good to see the end of the path. It might not be bad to take kids sometimes to prison. And let them see the end of the path. Because a good way to check your path to see if you're thinking straight is not to say, ooh, look, pretty flowers at the start of this path. Is say, who's coming back from this path and what do they think of the path? Let me look at the end of that path and see where it ends. Ooh, looks like flames up there. Better not go that way. You think it through. You think it through. You ever start coming and driving through traffic and all of a sudden you just see brake lights and you have time to get off the road and go the back way? You know what? I'm different. I'm not going to be stopped in the traffic. I'm just the exception. How about you say, look, everybody else is hitting their brakes. Maybe I should get off the road and go on a different road. So see the end of your path. And this is greatest is eternal mindset. Watch the eternal mindset. Let me just read you a verse out of Hebrews 11. The eternal mindset is ultimately looking the farthest forward and knowing, is this a good eternal decision? Hebrews 11, 13. These all died in faith, having not received the promise, but having seen them afar off and are persuaded of them, and they embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. They saw eternity and looked at the eternal rewards and eternal problems with that decision, and they said, we're going to serve God even if we die. That's a long-sighted decision. So check your decisions is look at the end of the decision. Number two, check with the Word of God. If your decision disagrees with the Bible, your decision's a bad decision. Amen. But, doesn't matter the but. It's not going to matter. The Bible tells you the way to live. Should I live with this person I'm married to? No. But. But financially, but this, and but that, da 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 da. No. No. Should I go get drunk? No. Been drunk with wine. Ephesians 5:18. Should I go steal this? No. Should I go to church? Yes. Should I pray? Yes. The Bible says it, you know your path. You just got to check it with the Bible. If you feel led to do something other that goes against the Word of God, it's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit agrees with the Word. 1 John 5:7 and 8 says, the Holy Spirit and the Father and the God never contradicts himself. The Holy Spirit never tells you to go against the Bible. I've heard more people, God's leading me to do this and it's unbiblical. No, God is not leading you. Try the spirits whether they are of God. God doesn't get confused and say, oh, I forgot I wrote that. God doesn't do that. Okay? God knows what he's saying and he says, don't do that. Number one, see the end of your path. Number two, look at the word of God. Number three, counsel. These are how we make sure our paths, we're thinking clearly and our paths are right. Counsel. Proverbs, just a couple verses. We just preach in counsel. But Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 14, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. We can read Proverbs 11, 14, Proverbs 26, 4, 24, 6, a lot of the verses. Counsel checks your path. But I know what they're going to tell me already. Then you're being foolish. Get counsel. It's safety, and it keeps you from falling. And if you make decisions in your life and major decisions without counsel, the Bible associates you with foolishness. Why? Because sometimes you're not thinking straight. Sometimes you're not thinking straight. And sometimes I'm not thinking straight. And sometimes I talk myself into something. Number four, what do you have to guide us? If our path's right, the Holy Spirit's leadership. Acts 16, 6 through 10, it says they wanted to go to Bethsaida, they wanted to go to Asia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And then the Spirit led them to go to Macedonia. And why? Because the Holy Spirit guides people. The Holy Spirit guided Philip. Ask for God to lead you, and the Holy Spirit sometimes will guide you into a good path and follow the Holy Spirit's leadership. And last of all is wisdom. Wisdom guides you, and is it a wise decision? Proverbs chapter 6. And verse 22, when thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou wakest, it will talk with thee. That's wisdom. It follows commandments. Wisdom is going to guide you and lead you in life. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 20, it says this. It says, I lead thee in the way of righteousness in the midst of paths of judgment. So, okay. So here's somebody. They make $50,000 a year. And you know what? They are renting a house, and all of a sudden, in the middle of renting their house, the owner says, I want to sell it to you. And they say, how much do you want to sell it for? They say, $300,000. And they say, wow, I've only got $1,100 in the bank. How much will the payment be on $300,000? About $2,700 a month. Well, let's see. You know what? I think I'm going to make more money in the future. And I think I'd be just fine buying this house. You know what? I'll own a house then. And if I can't pay for it, I'll just sell it before I get evicted out of it. Okay. If you drive around and you see a lot of empty houses right now, nice empty houses, that's why. Okay. Wisdom says don't do that when you make $40,000 a year. You say, but I prayed about it and I feel led. Wisdom's guiding you, in most cases, to not do foolish things. Wisdom says, I will guide you. I met this guy and he's wonderful and he's great. I'm going to marry him. Okay, good. Can we do some premarital counseling? Okay, sure, but you're going to love him and we're going to get married. Premarital counseling and pastor says, all right, have either of you been married before? I haven't. Have you, sir? I've been married 5 times, but they were all a bunch of bad women. And I say, oh, okay, bunch of bad women. And I take her aside and I say, I don't recommend you get married to a guy who's been married 5 times. The odds are pretty high he's going to be divorced 6th. Oh, he'll love me though. You just watch. We have something special. Wisdom is telling you something. You follow just common sense. Horse sense. Those are funny. Those are weird terms for wisdom. There's just foolish things you do in your life. And so you don't just go and you follow wisdom. James 1:5 says, if any among you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. If you pray and ask God, Lord, what should I do? God says, I will give you wisdom liberally. So ask for wisdom, and wisdom will help guide you if that's the right decision. So wisdom is a check, and if your decision, if everybody says, that's foolish. No, that's a foolish idea. No, don't do that. If everybody who's united is saying that, and it seems like the scripture says it's foolish, then wisdom is going to guide you. And okay, once in a long, long while, here's some missionary, and God says, go to the cannibals. Okay. Wisdom says don't go to cannibals. They like missionary soup, okay? It might tell you that. However, wise people have done that because God led them. But you're only going against wisdom by the leadership of God and very clear leadership of God. And stepping out in faith is sometimes biblical, and stepping out in faith sometimes goes against wisdom. But unless you got a clear leading from God, then you follow the scripture, and you follow wisdom, and you follow counsel, and you see the end of your path. Now, finish up with this. So to stay in the right path and see clearly, I want to give you just a few things here to stay in the right path and see clearly. And those are ways that check your path. But here's how to stay in the right path and see clearly. Is you got to step back and look at your path from outside yourself. In other words, don't just say, I want to do this. And all I can see is what I want. Step back and say what I advise somebody else doing that. Look at the whole path. Look at the entire path. In other words, you step back and consider the whole thing. Number one, think in long term and the whole picture in your decisions. Number two, lose your will enough to go either way. That is vital. You cannot make a good decision if you cannot choose. How many times in counseling and how many times in my own life have I just had to stop and say, am I willing if God, I want to do this certainly, but am I willing to not do this? And when someone is saying, I want to do this, I want to do this, isn't it good? It's a good idea. And they're just adamant about it. Sometimes you just stop and say, can I say, are you willing to not do that if we decide it's a bad idea? No, I've got to do this. And I say, well, why are you talking to me then? Because I think it's always a sin when you can't not do something. Amen. I will not be brought under the power of any, the Bible says. And if you can't not do it, then you can't make a good decision. You've got to lose your own will enough to say, I will do this or this, whichever you want, God. But when you have a strong will, you will talk yourself into it and not see a clear path. You will just do what you feel like doing because you did not lose your will. Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I don't think he was excited about going to the cross physically, but he lost his will. And you've got to, in order to make sure you stay on the right path and see clearly, is to say, I am willing to do either one. And when you lose your will, you're going to talk yourself into whatever you want to do, and it'll look just fine until the end. Number three, don't plan on being the one exception to the rule. Why is it everybody thinks they're the exception when they want to do something really bad? You're not. Nobody is. And so here's a person, they say, okay, you know, okay. So you know somebody maybe who is 75 years old, drank their whole life, just ate garbage and ate junk food and ate fast food the whole life, never exercised, smoked, and they look healthy at 75 and they're still skinny and in good shape. Okay? There are those people. They're the exception. And if you say, I know he did that, I'm going to do the same thing, you're probably going to die at 55. Or you're going to be walking like this at 60. Or doing this. Listen, 99% of people, if they eat junk food all the time, feel terrible and are exhausted and don't sleep good and are depressed and they're not living like they would live if they took care of themselves. Most people have heart attacks. A lot of them at a young age. The one who have a lot of it's lifestyle. And there's genetics, I understand. But don't think you're going to be the exception. Don't think you're going to smoke 40 years, but you're not going to get cancer. Okay? Don't plan. It's foolish to plan and be the exception. Proverbs is full of rules, yet every single person who drinks doesn't come to destruction, but it's a foolish life that usually leads to destruction. Okay? Don't think you're going to be the exception because you plan on that. Okay? You plan on it, but then it doesn't happen and you've ruined your life. You got to be wise. Don't plan on marrying wrong and turning out a good marriage. Don't plan on being foolish with your finances and it turning out okay later. Don't plan on being lazy and things turning out well. Don't plan on being the exception. It very rarely happens, and God doesn't bless it. And then last of all, this the biggest thing I want to say is know your fleshly inclinations. Proverbs 31, and know your strength, your fleshly inclinations. And I thought, how many verses can I read on this? But just a few of them. Proverbs 31:3, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroys kings. There's certain things that destroys kings. And giving your strength to women is a weakness for some people. Some men, a woman takes them and has got them wrapped in, around their little finger and in the control of their hand, and it says, don't do that. Now, some men will never do that. But a lot of men will if they marry the wrong woman. Let me take you back to Proverbs 23. There's certain things that are weaknesses for us, certain things we need to be careful of. Verse 1, Proverbs 23:1. When thou sittest seat with the ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. So if you're a person who can't control and just has got to eat and loves food and you're a person given to appetite, it says put a knife to your throat. Why? Because what the king gives you, it might defile you or he might control you by it. And so if you're a person given to appetite, you better put a knife to your throat and be very careful when you eat before a king. Is everybody a person given to appetite? No. How many of you absolutely, you delight in eating food, and boy, if somebody gives you food, you're happy, and you love eating, and it just, woohoo! How many are like that? All right? How many of you, with food, you eat, and it's fine, but it's not like a big joy or a big part of your life? It's not a big deal to you. Okay, half and half. Okay? Fine. Everybody's wired differently. So, you know, if you're a man given appetite, you got to be very careful with this stuff. And so certain people make the same mistakes over and over and over again because they have a weakness. And when you're coming to the path of your life, if you do not consider that weakness and realize, I'm talking myself into this because I would love to do this, you're going to mess things up. So here's a person who is inclined to loneliness. And guess what they do all the time? Get in bad relationships and talk themselves into it. So you say, I seem to just get in bad relationships because I'm so lonely and I don't like being alone. Now, there's a lot of people who it doesn't bother them at all. Matter of fact, somebody else bothers their schedule and their lifestyle and how they cook. Okay, so they're fine. But here's this person inclined to loneliness. They need to say, in my decisions about relationships, I need to be very, very, very careful. And you haven't got unlucky all those times you talk yourself into and overlook the faults and talk yourself into foolish decisions because that's what you do. Because that's what you're inclined to. A person who's inclined to going into a shell will talk themselves into quit going to church every time. I can just worship God alone. I'm just better off alone. Okay, how many times you've done that and your life didn't turn out good? Because that's their inclination. That's their weakness. That's what they like to do. That's what they're doing that. If you're a quitter, and that's your given to quitter, quitting, and you start doing things, and then you, every time, you start down a path with all the excitement, then you as soon as it gets boring, you quit, and you get discouraged and quit doing it. You need to realize that you're going to choose the path of quitting most likely and talk yourself into it. So you need to be honest about it and tell some people and have accountability. I don't think we like this point. Because when you do that thing which you give yourself to, You usually, if you are not beware of yourself and aware of yourself, listen, I'm a person inclined to never change anything. Okay, that's me. I like things the same, always. I don't like to change. Did you know, I talk to pastors and I want to leave. I want to quit the ministry. I want to go to a different church. I'm like, boy, that would be a pain. I have to move. You know how much of a pain it is to move. I just got these people figured out. We just got a core together. I'm not working a job anymore. We are starting to thrive. I don't want to change anything. I don't like to change. I have to watch myself that I don't get unresponsive to go do new things that need done. And stepping out of my comfort zones when I usually end up getting things just boom and boom, and Mondays like this, and Tuesdays like this, and Wednesdays like this, and Thursdays like this, and Fridays like this, and Saturdays like this, and Sundays like this, and everything just like this. And sometimes I need to change things and fix things and go out of my way and make myself uncomfortable. And I have to realize that I'm going to talk myself into going into consistency mode. What are your weaknesses? And what do you always talk yourself into? Because you're not going to see those things that destroy kings seem to be always the same things. And if your problem is pornography, you're going to talk yourself into having the internet at your house. If your problem is smoking, you're going to talk yourself into just buying a pack and you're just going to smoke one to relax. Okay? You need to know your inclinations. You need to know your problems. If you're a person who is not committed and don't stick with commitments, you need to understand that. You're talking yourself into this bad path because that's what you like to do. And then you go to your people in your life you trust and say, I have a problem. I do not stay committed to things and I make foolish decisions. So when I do this, tell me I'm talking myself into doing this again. We need to do that, don't we? It's this. I know we need to do that, but I don't want to do that. Okay. Then look at your path and say, I just like going down the bad path over and over again. Because if you know your inclinations, and I do, and if you're a shy person and say, you know what, I'm just not going to do that because I'm shy. And you do wrong things over and over because you cannot. And then you tell yourself it's just fine. How many people want me to quit before I get to your particular thing or already got to your thing? You don't want me to get to your second thing. Okay? You've got to know your inclinations because you do not see your path clearly because you always talk yourself into it. In the middle of it, you say, here I go again. But at the start, you start off saying, this is just fine. This is a good idea. Because we know our inclinations. And you won't see your path very clearly unless you die to self. And admit it. And admit your weaknesses. And guard yourself. Take heed to thyself, Timothy says. So let's make sure we do that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word. I pray tonight that we learned some things about stepping back and looking at our paths. And Lord, really, the whole message really what we wanted to get to was seeing that we sometimes look at our path short term with our own will in mind and don't look at the end of it. And I pray we'd be able to see our paths clearly because sometimes, Lord, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the ends are ever the ways of death. And we always talk ourselves into the things we really want to do and they seem fine because our detector is off because of our will controlling it. Help us, Lord, to be willing to stay on the right path, to ponder it, decide it, and stick with it. Help us to lose our will. Help us to put these safety checks in our lives so that we can make sure we're seeing clearly, so that we can end up on the path in paradise with joy and peace and the blessings of God. We pray we do these things in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed.